Welcome to Mommy Heal Thyself. We feature guests who provide you with the tools, resources, and strategies you need to say no to a life of pain and suffering from all forms of preventable disease, toxic drugs, and unnecessary surgeries. We hope to inspire you to boldly reclaim your ability to heal and to serve the ones you love.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Mommy Heal Thyself. Today, I have with me Grace's dad, also known as Scott Shara. He is a nationally recognized expert commentator on the medical murder agenda in America and the dangers of incentivized healthcare. Scott's research proves that this practice of medical murder is intentional and by design. The father of Grace Shara, a 19-year-old with Down syndrome, who was killed by St. Elizabeth's Hospital, Ascension Health. Scott is on a mission to spotlight the crimes of American medical system. He has shared his insights, research, and personal story through hundreds of television, radio, podcast appearances, and is also a host of his own show, Deprogramming with Grace's Dad, which can be found on Rumble on all major platforms. His work, his story, have been chronicled in a chapter of the Wall Street Journal's bestseller, Rise of the Fourth Reich, by Steve Deitsch and David Horowitz. And his writing has also appeared in Assault on the Image of God by David Horacio. His landmark line suit in the murder of his daughter, Scott Shara versus Ascension Health et al., is underway in Wisconsin Circuit Court. And we are soon to see a jury trial in November 2024, which is, what, 2 months away? 1 month away, Scott?
Interestingly, I'm glad you brought that up. I'm going to have to change that in the bio because on July 29th, the trial was moved to June 2nd of 25 from November 4th. And it was, we knew it was going to be moved because we added a sixth doctor to the defense. And so then, you know, they have to give the doctor time to hire an attorney and prepare and all of that. So we knew that was the risk of adding him, but we needed to add him because of the legal shenanigans that go on in this system. So I'm really glad you called that out. I've got to fix that.
Well, you know, we're getting ahead of ourselves. So let us backtrack to understand why we are even in the midst of this lawsuit. So tell us a little bit more about your beautiful Grace and her story.
Grace, she was a gift from our Lord. She was born, we celebrated her 22nd birthday this last Sunday, her golden birthday, September 22nd. She was born September 22nd of 02. And my wife and I, 9 months earlier, had turned the baby department over to God, and he blessed us with Grace. We named her Grace after God's grace. Grace had Down syndrome, and she was the best thing God ever gave us, second to salvation. We had an angel with us for 19 years, and, you know, I'll just say a little bit about Grace. You know, I could talk the whole program about her. She was extremely high functioning, partially because God made her that way, partially because we never vaccinated her with anything, mm-hmm. and partially because we chose to homeschool. And my wife homeschooled her from day one. And, you know, of course, I did the dad things. I taught her how to drive, taught her how to hunt, but she did everything. She could public speak, she played violin, she rode horse. You know, there really was nothing she didn't do because we just didn't look at her disability. We looked at her ability, and, you know, God really blinded us to the disability. It was wonderful. Those people who have experienced somebody with Down syndrome know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, it is a quote disability end quote worth celebrating, because people with Down syndrome have a love that is the way it's supposed to be. It's great. 90% of Down syndrome babies are murdered in the womb in America today. And that's part of the programming. That's why my podcast is called Deprogramming with Grace's Dad, because as you see these things and you realize what is going on, you end up with a responsibility to deprogram yourself. So So what happened, why I'm here, Grace's last day on earth was October 13th of 2021. I took her to the hospital on October 6th, one week earlier. And I took her because we had fallen trapped to the COVID psyop, the fear porn. And ultimately, I relied on that fear versus God and took Grace to the hospital. And she really just had a cold. However, we were monitoring things because we had done a home COVID test and it tested positive. You know, now that I understand what COVID was and wasn't, I don't know what she had, but you know, she had a cold and the emergency room physician suggested checking Grace into the hospital for 3-4 days. The reason we went there wasn't because of COVID. It was because the protocol we were following had us monitoring her oxygen saturation level. And on the morning of October 6th, that number dropped to 88%. The protocol said, that's an emergency, admit yourself to the hospital. So we did. And if Grace, if we would have never admitted Grace to the hospital, she'd be alive today. I'm 100% confident of that. And, you know, I can explain that if we have time, but ultimately the ER physician said, you know, let's do a preventative protocol. We'll check her into the hospital for 3-4 days, put her on oxygen and a steroid and get her home. And if they would have only done that, Grace would be alive today, but they did not do that. And, you know, the short version of Grace's story is that they gave her Presidex, which is a sedation med, lorazepam, which is an anxiety med, and morphine, which is an opioid, in a 29-minute window to euthanize her. And that's what they do with somebody in hospice care. And ultimately, when it came time to revive Grace, at this point, I was not in the hospital with her. I had been taken out by an armed guard 3 days earlier. Our daughter Jessica was with Grace. She called Cindy, my wife, and I on a FaceTime call at 7:18 p.m. on October 13th. And she was panicking. She said, Dad, Grace's numbers are dropping like crazy. You know, interestingly, that morning, the doctor had called us and said, Grace had such a good day yesterday. Let's work on nutrition. Let's get her out of bed. All lies. And, you know, because of the lawsuit, I can see the lies very clearly now, because we have the records and the phone records and all of that. You overlay everything along with our contemporaneous notes and you see, oh my gosh, they literally murdered her. So Jessica called us panicking. And so we started screaming. There was nurses in the hallway. They refused to come in the room. So I said, Jess, get the nurses in. She said, I've been trying, Dad. So we start all screaming, Jess in the room, us through the FaceTime call, save our daughter. And the nurses hollered back from outside the room with a guard present at the door. And they hollered back, she's DNR, do not resuscitate. And so, you know, what are you talking about? You know, so we scream back, she's not DNR, save our daughter. And they refused. They wouldn't come in the room. And there's a reversal drug that they're supposed to have bedside if they administer morphine. And they're supposed to be a nurse present. Well, they didn't do any of that. And we watched Grace die on that FaceTime call at 7:27 p.m. on October 13th of 2021. You know, as we now have peeled back the records, we see how nefarious this situation was, because the call with the doctor that morning started at 10:12 in the morning. And that's when he said, Grace had such a good day yesterday. Let's work on nutrition. Let's get her out of bed so we can get her home in the next several days. Well, he had already strapped her down to the bed and made her defecate in the bed before the call. While we were on the call, unbeknownst to us, Grace had already been on Presidex for 4.5 days. And they increased the dose to the maximum allowable dose while we're on the call. And then simultaneous with hanging up the phone, he put the illegal do not resuscitate order on Grace's chart. So ultimately, you know, once I realized what happened, I became a full-time advocate, researcher, podcaster on podcasts. And then we told God, you know, because we're jumping in, we thought he was calling us to jump in the fight. And we just told him, whatever doors you open, we'll walk through. And, you know, the lawsuit became one of those doors. And so this, you know, praise God, we have the resources to do this. I own a business. My guys are running the business so that I can do this full time. It's, you know, on a easy week, it's about 75 hours a week. On a long week, it gets to in the 90 hour a week range. So it's intense, but you know, I'm glad to do it. We're saving lives. Just one more piece to my open. We look at Genesis 50:20 as the basis for our calling, which says, what you meant for evil, God meant for good, the saving of many lives, which is happening today. And, you know, Grace's murder has saved many, many, many lives already physically and also spiritually, which is, of course, more important. My wife is literally in a hospital right now today. We're involved with a hospital rescue. She was texting me just while I was driving to my studio. She's with a lady. We're trying to get her out. She's 59 years old. She has special needs. She was not prepared. And that's, of course, one of the things we'll talk about today as far as how do you prepare. So anyway, that's my open. Thanks for letting me ramble, Michelle. Oh, you're muted, Michelle.
There's just so much to unpack. I muted myself because I just wanted to jump in on everything because there's just so much there and I have to discipline myself to make sure that we hear Grace's voice. And that's really and truly when I know you're the one speaking, but I see Grace in your face. And I know that she was sent here to awaken us. You know, I'm struck by the fact that her being here was preordained, right? That she came in the body and in the form that she came in is even more of a condemnation of us in terms of what we have done in our society. You know, you started the story by reminding us that so many of our children that have Down syndrome are never allowed to even come into the world, because they are not deemed to be worthy. They're not deemed to be whole. And yet, as you said, you know, one of my cousins is Down syndrome. And I will say that they are an elite group, yeah, that truly resonates what love means in our world. You cannot find a person that is more an embodiment of love than a person with Down syndrome. I don't know what it is about these children, these special, special people, that they are just always filled with that joy and that ability to look at life and to appreciate life and the simplicity of the life, you know. And they're I think they are literally God's angels on earth. And well, the blessing.
I didn't mute myself. They are. I'll just give you a very simple example that everybody can relate to. So we did a lot of things with Grace. She became our life. And, you know, so we would, you know, let's say you do 3-4 things in a day that are all a blast. Well, you and I would judge those and, oh, what was the most fun? The second, right? Mm-hmm. So I would ask Grace when we would have days like that, what was the best thing about today, Grace? And she would answer the same way every time. She would say, everything, Dad. And it was fantastic. All right, I'm sorry, I interrupted you now. So.
No, this is what this is about, you know, because I really want this to be a celebration of Grace and a celebration of her message to us. When we think about our children such as Grace, as I said, they are here to give us an opportunity to become a better version of ourselves. And all too often we fail in that particular endeavor. As you said, 9 out of 10 of our beautiful angels are not even permitted to come into this world because we fail to recognize that it is about who we choose to be and who we choose to level up into. And that's why we named this podcast, Mommy Heal Thyself, you know, because our message to everyone is we need to constantly level up. We need to be deserving of our children, not the other way around. And that was the message of Grace from beginning to her end. So that brings me into the last lessons that grace was able to teach us in those special moments. And they are the lessons of being aware, the lessons of recognizing that the white coats are not the experts, and to trust, to truly trust in the divine, even when the so-called experts are telling you something else, right? So what I would love for you to do, Scott, is to take us through from more of a, I guess you can say, like a detective perspective, in terms of what are the lessons that we need to learn when we are dealing with our loved ones in the encounter of going into a hospital. How do we need to approach that experience? What kinds of tools do we need to have before we even get to the hospital?
That's really a fantastic question. In my bio, you read a couple of terms. One was intentional. The other one is by design. Mm-hmm. So when people hear that, you think, what is he talking about? And that will, I'll fill in the blanks there, because it's the answer to your question, because the single most important thing somebody can do to prepare for a hospital stay or a medical visit is to change your belief. What's the reason? Our actions always follow our beliefs. That's how God made us. Mm-hmm. So, if you believe you're going to run out of gas in the next 20 miles, you're going to find a gas station, right? If your gauge reads full and you know your gauge is broke, well, you're going to be filling up a lot more, because the belief, my gauge is broke, facilitates, oh, I better stop at a gas station because I don't know how much gas I have in, right? So your actions always follow your belief. That's mm-hmm. just that's every single person on earth. So we've been programmed to trust the white coats. And where did that programming come from? Well, I've done quite a deep dive into it, but it started with the Hippocratic Oath. The Hippocratic Oath was written in 400 BC. And the Hippocratic Oath, if I did a man on the street interview, Michelle, and I asked somebody, assuming they know what the Hippocratic Oath is, I'd say, what does the Hippocratic Oath say? And everybody would say, first, do no harm. That's our programming. So what do kids do? I mean, kids get annoying to parents, but it's an annoyance that we should be, as you said, we need to come down to them and realize what they're teaching us. Well, when they ask why questions over and over and over, it's because they want to know. Mm-hmm. They want to know the truth, and that's lost as an adult. And so when you start asking why questions over and over and over, so why do I trust the white coat? Well, because he follows the Hippocratic Oath, which is first do no harm. Well, is the Hippocratic Oath really first do no harm? Well, if you dig into it, you'll find out. I did a two-part monocast on this about Hippocrates a couple months ago. It's on my Rumble channel. Anyway, you'll see that the Hippocratic Oath, the first paragraph of the Hippocratic Oath, is an oath to four satanic gods. So it's an oath to Satan. So when you, okay, so now all of a sudden you think, oh my gosh, that opens my eyes. So they took an oath to Satan. All right, so that means they're not looking out for my best interest. They're looking out for their best interest. Mm-hmm. And then the system has had, from 400 BC to now, 2,500 years to perfect all of these. Satan is a legalist. So they have perfected all these legal, not lawful, but legal ways that they bind us. So the doctors are legally protected if they follow standards of care. Well, standards of care are written to hasten our death. So the standard of care for cancer, for example, is chemo, radiation, and cutting. Those are the three standards of care. Well, chemo has a 97.9% kill rate. So why is that the standard of care? Well, it's because it's by design. Mm-hmm. They have convinced us, not you and I, but they've convinced the medical staff for sure that we should ration care. We don't have enough medical care to go around. So this spirit of collectivism, which was put into law in 1905 with the Jacobson versus Massachusetts Supreme Court case. And they said, well, we've got to be able to have our government manage healthcare. And when a government decides an emergency, it can do whatever it wants. It's like, what? So all of a sudden you start coming to grips with this, and it changes your belief. So that's why I say it's intentional.
Yeah.
And it's also by design. Why do I say by design? Because Satan, since the garden, has been at war with man. Why? Because God made man in his image and Satan hates man. So then we look at, okay, so then these things are satanic stakes in the ground. And then our programming, think about, so now I have talked about the medical perspective or medical profession side, but what about our side? Mm-hmm. We're programmed to buy health insurance. I mean, you're an idiot if you don't buy health insurance, right? That's our programming. Okay, well, what's the reason? Okay, well, if you really peel back the layers, most people, when they look at it, well, it's just that's what you do. Well, why? Well, then it's likely fear. And so you're fearful that you won't have enough money to take care of an event, or you're fearful of what, but anyway, the health insurance model is in bed with the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services. And CMS writes the standards of care for the whole country. This is how the federal government controls healthcare. So what I'm doing, I'm trying to peel this down to a simple layer to give a shock factor to say, okay, so am I telling you the truth? Well, dig into it. You'll find out that I am. And then once you realize the truth, now your actions follow the new belief. So, I mean, you should drop your health insurance. That's the absolute first thing you should do. Drop your health insurance so then you don't start asking the foolish question. So when you get diagnosed with cancer, your question becomes, does my insurance pay for it? Well, that's the dumbest question you could ever ask, because of course your insurance pays for it. They're in on it. When you get pregnant, you don't follow the white coat's directive, because the white coat is going to tell you, well, let's schedule your amniocentesis. So now you're just one more step to an abortion based on the amniocentesis. If it shows a disability, the doctor's going to recommend an abortion. Mm-hmm. I mean, so you can see this slippery slope happening, but it's all by design. And the by design is because this is the satanic matrix of the world. Jesus said, Satan is the prince of this world, and boy, has he done a fantastic job of weaving this web that we've all got sucked into. Wow. So that was a long answer to your question, but it's the most important, because once you change your belief, your actions follow.
And you know, it's very important what you're saying, because that's what I tell all of my clients, that nothing can really shift for you health-wise until you have a paradigm shift. And the first thing is to recognize who is the true source of healing. And it's no one in a white coat. And unfortunately, most of us have been programmed to believe that health and healing come in a white coat from people who have an alphabet soup after their names. And as you're saying, for us to recognize that those people have been trained by a system that is deliberately designed to go contrary to life. And if you don't have that paradigm shift, then of course, all of your actions, all of your subsequent actions are going to be of a certain ilk. And so now that we have recognized that this paradigm, this quote unquote healthcare system, is actually designed to promote death. Now we go into the hospital with a completely different understanding. And so now we have a different set of tools in our toolkit. So what are some tools that we should have if we have a crisis moment and we have no other choice but to go into the hospital? Because what I say to people is, when it comes to acute care, you know, don't take me to the local herbalist. You know, if I get knocked over by a Mack truck, don't take me to the herbalist. Take me to the nearest ER, okay? But when I go into that ER, I need to have certain tools in my toolkit. So what are those different tools, Scott, that we should have when we go in with the right mindset?
That's really a great question. So, I mean, you started out with the perfect answer, is that the hospital is a place of absolute last resort. And even last resort becomes a challenge question, because I had a wound on my wrist in January from a dog bite, and it was about the size of a silver dollar. It was down, you could see the veins, the bone. bones, and we had a relationship. So the advanced prep, we had a relationship with a nurse practitioner because of what I'm doing. You know, I'm a high risk candidate to go into a hospital across the whole country, right? All of them, you know, I'm on their billboard, kill this guy if he comes in. So anyway, you know, so my wife took a picture of it, you know, and I was had gone into shock. And so she took a picture, texted to the nurse practitioner, and her instant, and I was able to talk. I said, her name is Brianna. I said, Brianna, you realize I can't go to the hospital. They'll kill me. And she said, don't worry about it, Scott. God will heal that. So she gave us the protocol with antibiotics, or not antibiotics, but antibiotic salve, changing out the bandage, you know, the hydrogen peroxide, all of that. And within 5 days, new skin was already growing over the top of it. Whereas in the past, I would have gone to the ER and they would have stitched that up. So, you know, you still got to ask why, have the relationship with a trusted medical provider that is not, here's how you determine if they're a trusted medical provider, not just their personality that you like them, but they don't accept Medicare or Medicaid. Once they accept Medicare or Medicaid, they're bought in the system. So get a trusted medical advisor outside of the system. And so that prevented a hospital stay for me. Whereas in the past, my mindset would have been, I got to go to the hospital with this, right? Okay, so now you do have an objective. Again, you know, I'm underlining the word objective here. You have an objective emergency. So now your advanced prep for that objective emergency is you got to have your power of attorney for healthcare. No question. You have to have a medical directives document. We have links to this stuff on Grace's website under the hospital rescues tab. So those are your documents, power of attorney, medical directives. Then you have to have an advocate who you trust and who is awake. So an awake advocate who you trust, you have to have somebody with you in the hospital. Don't try to do it on your own because they will sneak things in. When you're sleeping, you've got to have somebody at bedside 24/7. And so you may need a couple, obviously, for a rotation. All right, so now you get to the hospital. The first thing they're going to want you to do is sign the little screen, the fake, you know, with the fake pen. And, you know, you cannot do that. If you need to do it in an emergency, then get the printout later on. You need to cross off and initial the things that you're signing your rights away to the hospital. So you don't want to sign any rights away. Then your paradigm, I really like that word, your paradigm has to be, I am renting this room and hiring a service, which means I can fire the service at any time if they're not performing to my expectation. If you hire a painter for your house and the painter shows up late, is chain smoking cigarettes, has the wrong color paint, are you still going to have them come in and paint, or are you firing them? You know, that's the attitude we need to have. I mean, you're renting a room and hiring a service. All right, so you get the medical directives document, you get that scanned by the hospital, have online access to your medical records while you're there, because they will do things without your permission, like the DNR on Grace. Well, in order to monitor things, you have to have online access to your medical chart. So then you can see if they're doing things behind your back. People have been given vaccines behind their back, DNRs behind their back. I mean, when the situation that we're involved right now, yesterday they came in, the lady already has said no vaccines. And yesterday they came in with the COVID flu shot. And, you know, praise God, my wife was there, so she was able to stop it. Because the lady's on a trach, she can't talk. You know, so this is real stuff. All right, so we went through the check-in process, online access. So then the last thing I would say is the advocate has to be educated on the term informed consent. Informed consent is two words. The doctor's responsibility is the informed part. The advocate's responsibility is the consent part. So this is where you start asking why, what are, you know, the doctor says, I want to put your friend on Precedex. Okay, so then, well, tell me what are the advantages, disadvantages of Precedex? What are the alternatives? What is the reason why you want to put her on Precedex? You know, all these different questions, you're an investigative reporter. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of that conversation, you tell the doctor, okay, I'm going to do some of my own research. I'm going to contact a medical professional that I know outside, and I will get back to you by tomorrow morning. Schedule the next step as to when you'll get back to him with your decision. You know, if it's urgent, you can still take time to do that, take time to pray. Most things are not that you have to approve them live. They get you in that mindset like you do, but most things don't rise to that occasion. So you can see everything that we're talking about has to do with this word paradigm. So I'm changing your paradigm with these details that I'm giving you about preparing for a hospital stay. And I think that really sums it up to the, one more paradigm change I would say is that people don't realize hospitals are under medical, military control. And this is another legalism thing that Satan pulled off. When we are under a public health emergency, the sheriff and the police department are subservient to the hospital staff. With this lady that we're talking about right now, 5 weeks ago, my wife and I went to go visit her at the same hospital that murdered Grace. The family called us. We didn't even know her. We had never met her. So we went to go visit her at the request of the family because she was in, 20 minutes away from where we live. We were only in her room for 10 minutes and two armed guards showed up and escorted us out of the hospital.
Wow.
So it's... you're wanting to have your attitude not be confrontational in the hospital, but you and your advocate are in charge. So it's very clear that you set it's like the substitute teacher. If the substitute teacher lets the kids get away with craziness, in the first 5 minutes, they own her. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're like the substitute teacher that wants to have the entire staff know that, hey, listen, this is serious business. Mm-hmm. I'm taking it serious. I will always be responsive, but I want you to understand that the patient and myself are in charge of the care here. Mm-hmm. And we expect informed consent. We will do we'll be the best patient you could ever have, but we've got to understand the reference point that we're coming from.
And I love that you say that it's like a substitute teacher where you have to set the tone. You have to have them understand what the relationship is going to be. And I love the fact that you said that, to instead of thinking of I don't even tell people to think of themselves as a patient. I tell them to think of themselves, like you said, I'm renting this room and I'm hiring these consultants. And I may also hire a technician to do X, Y, and Z. But at no point in time am I handing over my right to be in charge and to make it completely clear that on this team, I'm the captain of the team.
Bingo.
You are advisors, consultants, and you can give me suggestions and recommendations. And just like the president with the cabinet, I'll take your suggestions into consideration, but at the end of the day, I'm the one who's going to make the decision, or my advocate is going to make the decision. So, you brought up something very important when you said that that first thing that they, as soon as you come in, before you can even tell them what's wrong, they have a plethora of documents that they want you to sign quickly, And most of us don't realize that in signing those documents, we're signing over our rights.
Correct.
And we're saying, you can do anything you want to me. And so I love what you said, which is like, no, I'm good. I'm not signing them. We're good. And here's my directive. Here is what I'm telling you is going to be our relationship moving forward. And this is my representative. So always, always go in with an advocate, because your job during your stay is to recuperate. Your advocate's job is to protect you while you're recuperating. So it has to be someone that you trust. and someone who has some chutzpah, you know, someone who has some cojones. Because they're going to throw everything to try and derail that person and intimidate that person. So you need, if you need to go with cray cray Auntie Joe, go with cray cray Auntie Joe. If that's the person who's going to make sure that they leave you alone.
Well, that's right on. I forgot to add that. That's the third leg of the stool, right? They need to be awake. They need to be somebody you trust, but they also have to have chutzpah, like you said. That's right on.
Yeah. So I love everything that you've shared with us today, Scott. And I could continue talking to you for a long period of time, but I know you're so busy and you are definite. And I want everyone listening to your story to recognize the distinction in the words that he is using. He's intentionally, deliberately, specifically using the word, they murdered Grace. We need to get it very, very clear. It wasn't, oops, we made a mistake, because they love to say that so that they can, you know, be gone with their accountability. But that's we right. want to make it very clear that this is one of, I would say, millions of cases that aren't heard of our medical professionals intentionally murdering the people that we love. So, Scott, how can we support you? And we're going to have the link to your website in the show notes, but what are some other ways that we can support you and support Grace? Because her spirit will always be with us. So how can we support you as you move forward?
Well, there would be multiple ways. Our main website is ouramazinggrace.net, and you can look at really cool pictures and videos of Grace while you're there. Spend some time on the website. There's a resource tab that, you know, it changes. The website is updated, you know, multiple times a week because of new information. Plus my podcast is linked there. So, you know, that has updates regularly. You know, so the website is a source for a lot of different things. It also links to the lawsuit. We have a different database that we've created for people following the lawsuit. So you can link to that if you want to keep just following the lawsuit only. But then as far as direct support, praying would be fantastic. Mm-hmm. You know, I am personally on the front lines, you know, praise God, I don't think about it. You know, people have warned me, you know, do a suicide statement and, you know, we've chosen to not do any security or anything like that. And, you know, I don't plan on doing it. I don't want to be captured by the spirit of fear anymore. So, you know, God's hedge of protection is around us, but it's the prayers are really important. And then if you go to Grace's website, ouramazinggrace.net, you'll see in the upper right-hand corner, there's two links. One is for our Substack. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we send out a Substack generally about once a week. Okay. So you can become a member of the Substack. These databases are important to us because we will have calls to action. You know, okay. This lawsuit is a big deal. And the database allows us to do calls to action. We do have a Give, Send, Go. That is not for funding the lawsuit. The Give, Send, Go, we use the money that people contribute there for billboards. We have our latest billboard is really cool. It's just blunt. It says, will you survive a hospital stay? And a big question mark. And then it goes to the URL medicalmurder.net, which is that links to my 7-part series about medical murder is the number one cause of death in the United States by design. So that's what we use the money for, that people contribute through the Give, Send, Go. And then what else? Oh, we have, yeah, this is really cool. I'm going to just leave my chair so you can see this physically because it's pretty neat. Our daughter Jess just got this put together. We have a store now on the website, and it's awesome. We use a subcontractor to fulfill the orders, but you know, we all have a responsibility to do our part. Mm-hmm. And these shirts, we make $5 a shirt on. So this isn't, it isn't about making money on the shirts, but what it is, when you wear shirts like this, you will engage in conversation. So yeah. Here's one of them that's on the website.
I love it.
And then here's another one. This plays off the billboard I was just talking about.
I love that one. Oh my goodness. I'm going to have to go get some shirts.
So it's pretty cool because when I wear these shirts, I like to wear them in an airport because,
you know, conversation starter.
Right. They're good conversation starters. And, you know, that's, we all have a role. And, you know, even the person who doesn't have the same, you know, the background and abilities that I have, you can still wear a shirt and engage somebody in the grocery line or, you know, wherever you're at, because, you know, we're trying to help people. Yeah. And you help people by engaging them. So yeah. Thanks for asking me that question. That was kind of another long answer I gave you.
Well, I tell you, this episode is just so full and so rich of not only information, but also what I will share as spiritual guidance. So I thank you for allowing Grace to continue to tell her story through you. And I thank you for leveling up and always showing up as Grace's dad. So ladies and gents, until next time, peace and blessings.
Thank you for tuning in for this episode of Mommy Heal Thyself. If you like what we're doing here, please share, subscribe, like us, and leave a comment. Your feedback is very much appreciated.